Hey, did you hear Alyssa made vice president?
No.
Yeah, she made. She's class council vice president.
Wow.
Yeah, she ran. I mean, she ran unopposed, I think, but she still had to give a speech, and everybody loved it. I mean, everybody loved it, and she. So now she's kind of searching for. I mean, when she wrote her speech, when she didn't write it out, she just had notes, but. Because I asked her to send it to me, but she called me the other night and just wanted to tell me all about it. And that was really cool. She had a great day, you know, and was kind of walking on air at the end of the night and called me just to tell me all about her day. And I guess in her speech, she talked about how now that they're not fourth class anymore, which are complete followers, and they're not upperclassmen yet, so they're not quite deep into their leadership training. They're kind of in this middle ground of follower mentors, where they're learning to mentor the lower class and preparing to move into the upper class and become leaders, that right now is an extreme period of creativity and idea generation that they can actually do something to benefit the academy and the whole experience, whereas in fourth class, well, when they had ideas, they were still trying to figure out how everything worked, how things ran. Part of that was, you know, we don't know everything. We're still learning. And then if they did hit on something, they didn't know who to talk to and how it would be taken seriously and et cetera, et cetera. And she said now as third class, they're in a better position to make changes, offer opinion, offer creative ideas to problems, et cetera. And then we got to talking through her. I mean, she led the talk, but then it turned into she apparently used Zara's experience with her honor board and masting and talked about that and how it made her sad. And it was unfortunate that that the whole experience led to making Zara feel sad about her time at the academy, and that it's taken her a while to climb out of that, all because of what was a mistake, not kind of an intentional action. So they had a girl who was caught cheating on a chemistry test, and the way Alyssa put it, purposely cheating. They caught her purposely cheating. Now, I don't know what that means. I didn't ask her to define that. I'm just going to take that for what it means. But, you know, that's a very big difference. So we started talking about the law's concept of culpability mindset. And I told Lisa, I said, just type into any web browser culpability mindset and learn about what the law says. It's what distinguishes the difference between negligence or accidental murder like manslaughter or premeditated capital murder. And I said, you know, and I said, that's the thing that gets me, because when I talked to Cynthia Orem about Zara's struggles getting off of her unsuit after it's all done and she's done all her punishment and everything, she just needs to kind of do some paperwork and get a meeting with one of the officers and be judged, you know, off unsuit. She, and that's been delayed because of COVID and everything, but you know, I said, you know, there's been a struggle there and she's, you know, kind of still treated badly. And Cynthia Orem, the president of the Parent Association, said, yeah, it's common that once you're boarded or masted, you just sort of get treated with the rest of the riffraff as if you're equal. And there's no distinguishing between the type of event. And I said, well, there you go, Lisa, that's one of the things you could push for, you know, is that, you know, we talked about the masting and the honor board and, you know, what that must look like. You know, you don't imagine that the teacher, a lieutenant junior grade, goes to the cadet-run honor board and stands up in front like a prosecutor and reads her complaint against Zara, the defendant. And yeah, I don't think a real officer is going to get involved in what is a cadet process that begins it, and then the cadet process, that adjudication then goes to the masting that is actually held by officers. And so I said, you know, how does it get to the honor board? And you know, we talked about that, and there's probably a paperwork trail, there's documentation, and the cadet board probably only gets the offense or the complaint from the teacher via documentation. So they get basically a written explanation of what happened, and then Zara's called in front of them to explain her side of it, and then they you know, whatever that back and forth amounts to, and then they adjudicate. Well, you know, I said to Alyssa, it's obvious they don't have to make a separation between any culpability mindset. And there's a big difference between the girl who purposefully cheated on a chemistry test and Zara, where it's a matter of interpretation by the teacher whether or not she got too close to that gray, that line between breaking collaboration policy or not. I said that was an unintentional kind of mistake. And even if you assume that the teacher is right and Zara broke it, Zara accepted the punishment. It's just she didn't intentionally do that. It wasn't, you know, and that's a big difference in mindset. And I said, so, you know, that should be taken. You know, I said, you know, put your thoughts together and force. For, if there's a paperwork trail that obviously the board then has to probably fill out via paperwork, form this, form that, form whatever, they have to fill out their adjudication of the board and their recommendation to the masting that the officers then take into their consideration as they pronounce final judgment. I said, make that form as a matter of SOP. Make the cadet judges, if you will, force them to have to consider culpability mindset and use the legal term. Use that term to make people go, what's that? And teach them something and force them to do it by an SOP change. You know, add box 6 on the form right before explanation or right after explanation and have box 6 be, at the very least, a checkbox between intentional act or unintentional act. And I said, if you guys wanted to think of one or two more, maybe, I mean, look at the legal culpability mindsets from premeditated to negligence and see if maybe there's a third option. But you could force those cadet judges to have to consider it by placing that question or that thing on a form and that way you would know that amongst themselves when they deliberated, they would at least have to have considered culpability mindset outside of just this procedural black and white. Did she break the club? Yes, she did. Guilty. You know, Liz is really excited about it. I'm kind of pleased.
Good.
Apparently the student class took her speech really well. And actually when she mentioned Zara, I mean, she kept the story of Zara pretty vague, you know, too many details, kind of generic, just talked about the mental state and what you went through for what was a simple mistake and how they, you know, for all the talk about helping you succeed, you know, that we haven't really seen that with Zara. There hasn't really been a help you succeed. You know, you made a mistake and now you're just like, you know, and so Zara has had a kind of a struggle to get back, although Zara's, she's tough, she's doing it well, but yeah, it's very interesting. And when she mentioned Zara, man, a lot of the class knows Zara. See, the younger classes really like Zara. Because Zara is very motherly. She doesn't seem like it, but because she does it in kind of an alpha male kind of way. But she'd go to war for her third class, or you know, for the class below her. You know, if it was like her and 6 girlfriends out, you know, going to dinner one night and got accosted by some bad guy, she'd step in front like a parent and go, "Don't you touch these girls." So she's real protective that way, and she got a bunch of hoots and hollers from the audience, so that's good. Anyway,
so they had a big assembly, and everybody's supposed to be on quarantine, but they're quarantined together.
Well, the quarantine is the academy; they're free to go anywhere on the academy.
Yeah, but what about Alyssa? Did she do this via video teleconferencing or?
No, it was on the academy. I mean, they're all quarantined together, so they're not quarantined like each in their own individual jail cell.
Okay.
The cordon of the quarantine is the academy grounds.
Okay.
So they can all interact within the academy grounds, yeah. But, Yeah, Alyssa's, you know, gosh, that's awesome. I'm proud of her. Of course, we haven't heard from Zara since Father's Day, so Dawn and I are going, come on, Z, come on. But I'm sure she's out, you know, she's out sailing in the Atlantic somewhere. I got to check the maritime traffic site and see if they've got a hit.
I posted a picture of the air traffic page right as they were leaving Long Island Sound.
So where are they sailing from and to? From Long Island Sound to?
Out into the Atlantic. That's it. You know, they don't have anything. It's a, okay, apparently I got a hit on them. Let's see. They are, wow, I can't tell how far they are offshore. I can get a lat long. Okay, let's see. Pass track. Oh, you can go to Marine and look at their pass track. Yeah, but they are, gosh, they got to be 20, 30 miles or so off of due east of Ocean City, Delaware. They got to be, Jesus, they got to be, what's the different distance between Ocean City and Philadelphia?
Ocean City, Philadelphia.
Yeah, I'm going to put it in Ocean City, DL. The reason is I'm just, rather than trying to fuck around with lat longs, I'm just going to use the distance that I see them. Measure distance. And 115, so it's about 115 miles offshore. What I did was I took their distance from Ocean City, Delaware to them, and I just took my finger, my pinky finger, my index finger, and then I rotated it like a circle around, you know, kind of keeping just eyeballing the same radius with my fingers, and found the nearest city that radius lined up to. And then I just went to Google Maps and kind of got an idea of the distance. So they're about 100 miles offshore, due east of Ocean City, Delaware. That's pretty cool. That's wild. That's really wild. Of course, you know, 100 miles offshore is still probably, you know, 1/20th of the way to England. Yeah, probably about an 18th. Yeah. I'll post a picture, yeah. That's what I'll do. I'll cut it. Maybe I shouldn't do that. Well, anybody can come. It's a public website. Yeah, I can't wait to hear Zara's stories. She doesn't, you know, she wasn't too excited to have her go on Eagle again, but when I talked to her Friday, she was doing great. So, yeah, she was really enjoying it. I mean, you know, she sounded, okay, she didn't articulate, oh, hey, I'm having a great time, Dad. But I mean, you know what I'm saying. She, anyway.
Well, she's out sailing. That's what she's supposed to do in the Coast Guard.
Yeah, that's cool. That's really cool. Well, all right. Listen, just like I said, I'm just chatting up with you. Just, yeah, read my piece. Let me know if you have any feedback on it. And,
yeah.
And then I'll see if it can't, you know, maybe get some, I need to get some family members to share it. So if you want to share it, share it. Like it.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get it out there. All right. Well, you have a good one. Hey, did your stuff come from Michael?
No, not yet.
Yeah, I talked to Michael. He's pretty ticked off about it. Apparently, they're being really hard to work with. So,
yeah. Well, I didn't want to say it and upset him, but I was going to say, don't send things that are perishable.
Well, you know, I agree with Michael. These companies, their business model is based on something that's perishable. Well, they have the obligation to figure that out, not, you know, I mean.
Yeah, they're going to call the recipient and say they're going to make a delivery at 3 o'clock. Are you going to be home?
Yeah. Well, you see, it used to be that they actually had, because mom used that company, that same company, and we've used it here. Now, I have a good store here, so they always do a good job. But mom used to send them, too, and
years ago, they had some type of zippered aluminum bag that went over the product, and then they would put ice packs inside the aluminum bag or the metal bag, and they don't do that anymore. So, I mean, that's probably not a good idea. I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of wondering how my Factor, you know, I'm not doing fresh leaves to the house anymore, but I'm doing the Factor, and I still get ButcherBox, you know, but so far they've done well. ButcherBox completely changed how they did their packaging, and I think that was for the better because it's done smart. Every time ButcherBox comes, the moment I see it, I do something about something's here. I do something about I grab my IR temperature thing and I open it immediately and hit the temperature, and it's always something, you know, super cold, negative, if not negative. But freshly just comes fresh. But as long as the ice packets aren't fully melted, you know, they've been doing pretty good. But we'll see how it goes as we get into June. June and July is when it really starts getting hot. So, I mean, we're in June now, but, I mean, getting through June and July. Did it rain over your way today?
Rained all night.
Oh, all right. Yeah, it rained like a motherfucker here.
Yeah, I couldn't.
It was just pouring.
My left ankle was phenomenal last night. I don't know what she did that caused it. I took a pain pill this morning, helped calm it down. It was hard slipping.
Well, all right. Well, relax today. Maybe Michael will get that figured out.
All right.
All right, Pops. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.